Dave has been a dear friend of Word and Life for many, many years. Most of you know we have been in business 45 years, but probably 25 of those years, Dave has presented to us every year. So we are certainly appreciative of his efforts to help us along. I would not even known about Word and Life if it wasn't for Dave Rico. So let me, and all of you who are here know Dave and probably doesn't need an introduction for you, but just in case, Dave is a psychotherapist, a teacher, a writer, a workshop leader, whose work emphasizes the benefits of mindfulness and loving kindness in personal growth and in emotional well-being. He's the author of scads of books. If you go on any computer search, you'll find lots of books. The last time he was here, we did triggers. But this time we're going to learn about ready. All right, here's Dave Rico.
Thank you, Judith, and thank you, Tim. And welcome everyone. So lovely to be here with you. I'd like to begin with sharing the screen, and I'm going to, let's see here, I put something in the chat so you can see it there, and I'll also put it on the share screen. So I've been using this to start the day with. And I just thought we would start our whole experience together with this. And first I'll read it through and then I'll go through it little by little. So I say yes to everything that happens to me today as an opportunity to give or receive love and to free myself from fear. I am thankful for the enduring capacity to love that has come to me from the Sacred Heart of the universe. May everything that happens to me today open my heart more and more. May all that I think, say, feel, do, and am express loving kindness toward myself, those close to me, and all beings. May love be my life purpose, my bliss, my destiny, my calling, the richest grace I can receive or give. And may I always be especially compassionate toward people who are considered least or last, or who feel alone or lost. So what this does is it places the context of the day in the unconditional yes to that which is. And as we will be seeing, the only way to get ready for what comes next in your life is to begin with a yes to what is, rather than some form of denial of what is, or wishful thinking about what is. Our topic will be about how to free ourselves from that style that we automatically get into. So I begin with saying that everything that happens is not a happening. I've gone beyond thinking of events as happenings, and now I'm thinking of events as opportunities. Opportunity for what? To give love, receive love, and free ourselves from fear. This leads me to a sense of gratitude. I'm glad that I have a capacity to love that it has endured, that no matter what has happened to me, I notice I can still love. Where did that come from? It came to me from the Sacred Heart of the universe. Or higher power, God, whoever you want to look at it. So I begin with yes, I go to thanks. And then I ask, that everything that happens to me today would open my heart more and more, like the Sacred Heart of the universe that opened itself so that every human could have the capacity to love. And no matter what happened to us in childhood, it's still possible to do that. Trusting that is the equivalent of trusting yourself. That trust of yourself helps you be ready either to make a move, stay put, make a change, go into retreat, become more active, become less active. So I'm asking that everything that happens to me today open my heart more and more. And then I make a dedication. Now I'm saying that whatever I may think during this day, whatever I may say, feel, do, or even am, I want all of that to turn into ways of showing loving kindness. And this loving kindness, which is a term from Buddhism, is going in three directions. First, it's going to myself, then those close to me, and finally to all beings. It isn't selfish to want to express loving kindness toward myself. How do I do that? Taking care of my body, being open in my mind, looking for soulful ways to make connection with the world around me. I want that same kind of experience to happen to my family and friends, that is, those close to me. And I also want to extend it to all beings. And right this minute, I extend it to everyone in our class. This love now becomes even bigger. It has become my life purpose, the reason I'm here. Why am I here? To show love to myself, those close to me, and all beings. And that includes people I don't like. And so I want love to be my life purpose, what makes me happy, the destiny I'm moving toward, my calling in life, and most of all, the richest grace I could ever have received or given. Grace is the gift dimension of life. We'll be talking about this in the course of our class. The work on ourselves can't be just exercises, techniques, practices, meditations. It has to also be an openness to a grace that wants to come through. Something that's just given to us that helps us make a move or helps us find what we're looking for in life. And these graces are all around us. But the richest grace is the ability to love. And we'll be seeing that love does not mean giving so much of yourself that you have nothing left. Love never depletes you. Love always enriches you. So the way to tell that the love is real is it doesn't stop you, it doesn't make you less than you are, it is continually adding to who you are. And we'll be talking about how that can happen. Finally, not to leave anyone out, I also remind myself that it's important for me to be especially compassionate toward people who are considered least or last, or who feel alone or lost. So when I see that homeless person on the street, I make some kind of eye contact, and I send a blessing. I wish them a grace. And I'm looking with compassion rather than judgment. In fact, I would like to look at everything and every person in that same way. So I began with yes, and I came all the way down to compassion. What a way to begin something. So let's hear this once more in a different voice. Patricia Gall, would you unmute and just read this slowly once more?
Sure, Dave. I say yes to everything that happens to me today as an opportunity to give or receive love, and to free myself from fear. I am thankful for the enduring capacity to love that has come to me from the Sacred Heart of the universe. May everything that happens to me today open my heart more and more. May all that I think, say, feel, do, and am express loving kindness toward myself, those close to me, and all beings. May love be my life purpose, my bliss, my destiny, my calling. The richest grace I can receive or give. And may I always be especially compassionate toward people who are considered least or last, or who feel alone or lost.
Thank you, Patricia. Mm-hmm. So now I'd like to open it up for any reflections you have about this. Anything that strikes you. And Tim, would you call on people when they raise their hands? Okay, Jimmy or Jennifer.
Hi, thank you, Dave, for doing that. Hi. I know how, I realize intellectually, how wise it is to have a morning affirmation or a meditation. And I just am so grateful again for the reminder that saying something as a practice is a really great way to start your day and set your heart and your mind on an intention that is, although aspirational, it sets the way that you are going to embrace the day. And I think that's huge. So I will try this, and I'm excited about it, because I usually just roll out of bed and whatever hits me first thing is like, oh, I need coffee, or what's happening in the news. And it really doesn't get me prepared in any way to positively, constructively, open-heartedly handle. Interact with whatever life gives me. Mm. So thank you.
Thank you. And you expressed it so well. And I love that idea, set an intention. It's a practice. We don't have all this in place. We're practicing this. And we're hoping that practice makes perfect, which is what we already are. Perfect. That word in Latin means done through, D-O-N-E, done through. We are done. We're actually here. we were born and we're here. So we're done. We're perfect. And also we're perfect because the whole universe is breathing through us. When I saw that little video that Tim put on, and just to place the breathing in the context of nature, I want to breathe with the stream. I want to breathe with the sky. That's what we're going for. And it's a high purpose, but it fits perfectly for beings like us who were meant to be God on earth, nothing less.
You know, Dave, I wanted to ask you a question about this too. This offering reminds me a lot of Thomas Keating's Welcoming Prayer. And when we encounter these invitations to say yes to everything that happens to us, I often hear in circles that are working for justice in the world, a contrast to this, which has to do with, should we be welcoming injustice? Should we say yes to the traumas or the woundings that we do experience as vulnerable human beings in the world? And yet, I don't think that's exactly the invitation that we're inviting us into. So if you could reflect maybe for a moment on how we are invited to say yes to everything that happens to us, and yet also have healthy boundaries that allow us to move in compassion with a world that hurts and experiences injustice, and how to hold that that invitation to say yes with the work of love in the world.
Thank you, Tim. So it'll always be the three yeses. It's yes to the serenity to accept what I can't change. Yes to the courage to change what I can change. And yes to the wisdom to know the difference. So the yes here is to the opportunity to show love and release ourselves from fear. So more love, less fear. And one of the ways that we're showing the love is by responding to the issues of justice, peace, and love happening in the world. And we're trying to bring justice where there's injustice, bring peace where there's violence, and bring love where there's hate. That's the equivalent of, that would be what we mean by give and receive love.
That's really helpful, thanks. So if I'm hearing you correctly, it's not a universal yes to everything that happens in the world. It's a yes that has those three foci that you mentioned of, you know, what we can control, what we can't, and the wisdom to know the difference. Is that an accurate reflection?
Yeah, and the yes does not mean agreement or assent to, for instance, terrible things happening in the world right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying yes, let them keep happening. Yes, I agree with what's happening. I'm saying yes, this is happening, and how can it become an opportunity for me to co-create a world of justice, peace, and love.
It's great, thank you.
The yes is not resignation. The yes is to how I've been activated by the suffering around me to bring some kind of healing and ultimately to co-create this kind of a world. Oh, we're just individuals. It doesn't seem like we can do a lot. But just even all of us placing this kind of an intention has to make some kind of difference. At least I hope it does. Well, I'm so glad we're reflecting with such depth on this. So thank you for your comments. comments so far. Somebody else have a reflection or comment or question?
I see a hand up there. Jeannie, is it?
I don't have that poem, but I have a different one, and I also put it in the chat for those who want to save it. Peggy, hi, could you unmute?
Hi, yes.
Hi, Peggy.
Hi.
Would you read the poem for us?
Yes. Love came as a guest into my heart. My soul then opened so that love could dine in me.
Thank you. I was struck by this poem because it reminded me of a verse from the book of Revelation. And in this one, the soul, the person, is inside a cottage and Jesus is knocking at the door. And this is what he says. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone would open the door to me, I would come in and sit with him and dine with him and he with me. So there's no doorknob on the other side. The doorknob's only on the inside. We would have to open ourselves to the divine guest. Who is this divine guest? It's what in us wants to co-create a world of justice, peace, and love. That's the God within. Okay, somebody else had a comment? All right, well, I'm really glad we started this way, and I will end the screen share. So I think I'll start with, first of all, thanks so much for joining me in that way of opening our class. It means a lot to me. And to see you all looking into it with me is very meaningful. So thank you. As I say, I start the day with that, and I always love when people can share what comes up for them too. So I'd like to begin with, first of all, this is the book. It's called Ready, How to Know When to Go and When to Stay. And it shows, I love the cover. It shows two birds. See, one bird is sitting on the telephone wire and the other one's flying away. So one is staying and one is going, and both are legitimate. You just have to know what you're ready for. So the origin of the book, it happened about a little over 2 years ago, and it was my 50th anniversary as a therapist, because I had begun in 1969. And I asked myself this question. What is the problem that you saw the most? I figured out I've seen about 5,000 clients. And I asked, what's the question that came up over and over again, the one that you heard the most? Absolutely, staying too long in what doesn't work. That's what I came up with. And what I see and have seen over and over in my own life. So that led me to imagine that it's probably the kind of topic that many people would be interested in. And so that's what led to this book. Then I thought to myself, but wait a minute, that's just one side of the coin. Sometimes we stay too long in what doesn't work, but there could also be times in which we don't stay long enough in what can work. So that became my second topic. What makes us stay too long in what isn't really good for us? What makes us not stay long enough in what could be good for us? But I couldn't stop there. I thought, if those are my two topics, I'll just be coming up with practices and recommendations for, you know, how to know when to go and how to know when to stay, how to go and how to stay. Very superficial. I didn't want to end with that. So I stayed with the topic and I realized something very important. It came as a kind of realization. I didn't have it beforehand. It occurred to me that you can't go or stay based on choices that you make only. It can't only be that. There's also the mystery of timing. The timing has to kick in, and it doesn't come from exercises and plans and practices. At a certain moment, the time is right and you make your move. But until that moment comes, you would be jumping the gun or delaying. So that made the topic of the book much more fascinating to me. I thought, oh, this is not just about going or staying. This is about something that happens to us that makes us ready. So it isn't just get ready, it's opening to what makes us ready. And we have no way of knowing when or how that happens. So that's the third topic of the book, as you will see. So I'd like to begin with just reading a paragraph, if you have the book, I'm on page 7, because our first topic will be staying too long and what doesn't work. And then we're going to move in future classes to how to make the commitment to stay when something can work. And then we go to our third topic, which will be the mystery of timing. But I'll bring in the mystery of timing all throughout. Of course, I couldn't resist putting my little quote from Jimmy Durante from one of his songs at the end of the introduction. Did you ever get the feeling that you wanted to go, but still had the feeling that you wanted to stay? He has said it all. Okay, so staying too long in what doesn't work is ultimately a form of pain. And of course, if you've been brought up to believe that the reason you're here is to endure pain, you will pay no attention to that first sentence. You won't even think of it as pain because you saw your parents put up with pain and you were taught that you're supposed to endure also. Endure, that word in Latin means harden, H-A-R-D-E-N. That's a form of pain. So staying too long in what doesn't work is ultimately a form of pain. An alternative path is to change conditions for the better or to exit what does not yield to improvement. See, we weren't trained to be like this. We were trained, don't exit when things can't get better. Just bite the bullet and hang on. Just stay put. Inertia. Body at rest tends to stay at rest. Yet that's not easy for most of us. We might instead linger in inadequate and untenable situations. We might become accustomed to pain and then stay stuck in it. There are many reasons we might remain in the idling mode. Car idling, you're just sitting there wasting gas. Or why we make do. Imagine using that expression in your life. I'm making do instead of I'm moving on. Or is this the reason that we do make do? Because we don't want to move on. So I'm just going to give a few examples of how this works, and then we'll go on to our discussion. We might be caught in delusions, false beliefs, and wishful thinking. It might get better. We might be stymied by a fear of change. We might believe that life is about enduring rather than enjoying. And so we feel compelled to keep trying. We might keep our hopes up when they have led us nowhere and for too long. So what I'd like you to take a look at is when in your life you feel you have stayed too long in what doesn't work, or even if you're in it right now, and at whatever level you feel comfortable sharing with your group mates, please take a look at this issue in yourself. And if so, the topic is, how have I stayed too long in what doesn't work? Or how am I in something right now that doesn't work? And if you're uncomfortable with both of those, you can instead just talk about what feels to you like the next step on your particular journey, in case you feel uncomfortable sharing in that more candid way. But we're going to try to do this in our class. We're going to try to be as candid as we can.